This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan on a beautiful day, as it was yesterday for the Steelers preseason opener. Did not go very well, and we're here to talk about that, the Pirates, and other things as well. But first, I want to remind you that Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show is brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, Shendorovich, Shendorovich & Fishman, Ireland Contracting, as well as Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Well, what they are talking about is a bad performance by the Steelers last night. Mike Tomlin likes to say, make the routine plays routinely. Well, that did not happen last night. In fact, it was not routine at all. There were mistakes all over the place, special teams included. But center snap exchange, I find it interesting. You know, when you try to figure out whose fault it is or why it happened, Nate Herbig was the center. Justin Fields was the quarterback. And for whatever reason, they couldn't get it together. Now, if you look at it afterwards, Herbig took the blame, but so did Justin Fields. So obviously it's a mutual thing, but the play design may have something to do with that. I thought Dan Orlovsky of ESPN did a nice breakdown on this. When the center has to move immediately right or left on a play, and the quarterback doesn't go with that flow, oftentimes it leads to, you know, a miscalculation of where your hand should be and where the ball is being snapped back. So something like that happened on both of those plays, it looked like to me. But part of Fields' situation in coming to Pittsburgh was a massive amount of turnovers, whether it's interceptions or fumbles or whatever. Very talented kid, and he looked okay in the pass game last night. But you can't have that happen, obviously. Those are drive killers. In fact, one of the fumbles went forward to the point where it was a four-yard gain, which is interesting. But you know, that was just one of the problems. They had some problems on special teams, of course. They had a couple of nice returns allowed. They also had a block in the back on one of their own returns. They had a botched snap, which is rare, a high snap, a missed kick. And then the biggest one to me was Quez Watkins with a muff punt, if you saw our broadcast. And that was an easy play to me. And earlier in this game, he also caught or made a fair catch on a play that he had real estate. He could have made a play. So those are all things that have to be corrected. It was a rather sloppy preseason opener as they lost 20-12 in that game. We did see C.J. Stroud for a little bit, and the one play that really, to me, summed up the Steelers' defense was confusion in the secondary when he went 34 yards to take Dell and just weaved his way into the end zone. So not a good beginning. Hopefully next Saturday we'll have the game for you against the Buffalo Bills. We'll see a sharper performance, and this is why, to me, a lot of guys have got to play more than they do. I've maintained this for a lot of, I'm not a coach. I get it. Coaches have different beliefs. There are injury possibilities. I understand all of that. And Troy Fuotanu seemed to suffer some sort of injury. We were not aware of that during the game. It was only afterwards But no extent given, and so hopefully that's not a bad thing. He got in there, and right off the bat, Daniil Hunter took advantage of him, the raw rookie, and that's a full-time Pro Bowler who got around him for a sack, got around him a couple of times, actually. So, you know, but guys need to play, and there's no question about it. Those tackles, whether it's Moore, Broderick Jones, or Fahautanu, they all have to get some reps in there. We saw Zach Frazier come in after the botched snaps involving Nate Herbig, and he looked good. He looked like he was ready to go. You know, he's had a lot of time at West Virginia. He was one of the more consistent players and a good, strong push at the offensive line. So, again, you're not looking for any specific stuff. And I want to remind people who call in here and get down real quick, because it's easy to get down on these things, just as last year, and this is my point, we got overly optimistic about what we saw from Kenny Pickett in the offense, and it never did ever match that in the regular season. So these are things that happen. They have to make corrections. I hope next week we get a chance to see Russell Wilson and what he can do, and a little bit more time for Justin Fields. I thought Kyle Allen also made a mistake when he overthrew Calvin Austin. It was a beautiful play design, but it went for an incompletion because the pass was too high. But in the second half, I mean, he responded very nicely and had a good second half, did Kyle Allen. You can tell he's an experienced guy. He hasn't really done all that much in terms of, you know, playing on a regular. He had most of his time down in Carolina. But in this game, you know, the passing situation was pretty good, as he completed, 17 of 23 for 193 yards. And, of course, the big overthrow to Calvin Austin, who needed to be taller to get that pass, and just did not happen. And that was right at the end of the first quarter, I believe, or second quarter. End of the – whatever the case, it was a nice drive that went – all the way to the end, and it led to a fourth down and one call, and it was a nice design, but he just overthrew him. 412-928-9370 is the number to call if you'd like to talk about that. Also want to talk about the Pirates and what a collapse this is turning into be. And you knew it was going to be difficult after the break, and they had a lot of good teams right above them. Well, they went, you know, 1-5, and the way they went 1-5 is more damaging than the 1-5 itself, I think, because their bullpen just continues to implode on key situations when there were games to be won. I could argue that they should have won all three games in that Arizona series. They lose 2 of 3. And then in the San Diego series, same situation, at least two of those. It could have been a 5-1 road homestand. Instead, it goes to 1-5, and the Pirates reveal their weaknesses again. The hitting has been atrocious. Save Joey Bart. That's the only guy right now. He had a 3-run home run again last night. Other than that, not many people are doing many things. Reynolds, I expect he's been good. I'm not going to have a problem with any of what he's done. But, you know, there's been so much erratic hitting going on with this team. Lack of extra base hits. And, you know, Ke'Bryan Hayes does not have to be a home run hitter. What he has to be is a gap-to-gap hitter. What he has to be is an RBI man. I don't know what his problem is. I don't know if it's physical in the back. I don't know if it's just he's overmatched, he's overthinking, he's underconfident, whatever. His performance has been way below the line. Has to be better there. So they got some decisions to make. Henry Davis is hitting the ball well in AAA. What do you do with him? At some point, you got to make a decision and get him up here to play if his bat is what you're looking for, because they need as much bat as possible. They lost last night 9-5. Mitch Keller gave up a 448-foot home run to Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers keep doing it with all these different people, man. They're, you know, the budget is no problem with them. They just go out and buy more when things go bad. Trevor Bauer was a Cy Young winner. He got into trouble. Domestic violence accusations, been cleared since, and he hasn't had another opportunity. Another guy is Julio Urias. This is a guy who was embarking on what would have been a $300 million contract. He had a couple of arbitration years back in 2021. When he led the National League in wins, he was a 20-game winner, I believe the first since Max Scherzer had won 20. 20-3 record. The following year, in 2022, he goes 17-7, but he led the National League in ERA with a 2.10. And he was about to get to free agency, or a time where he could have cost a lot of money. And instead, he gets in trouble with domestic violence. And even though Major League Baseball has not done anything, I don't think they have anyway, in terms of suspension, he's not around. Is he in Mexico? He's someplace pitching, but it ain't here. And that's a loss. But when that happens, what do the Dodgers do? Well, they just go out and sign Tyler Glasnow, the $200 million or whatever, $150 million, whatever it is. Today, Paul Skeens will be on the mound, 6-1, 199. To me, the rookie of the year is him, or it's Jackson Merrill of San Diego. I have nothing but respect for Jackson Merrill. He is a gamer. He's a big-time player. He plays every day. You have to consider him, although Skeens is the leader in the clubhouse, as they say. He'll go up against River Ryan tonight Interesting name, River Ryan. He's only 25. He's 1-0 his last out. He won against the Astros, 1.72 ERA. He happens to be the brother of Ryder Ryan, who is on the Pirate roster. So that sets the stage for you. Anything else you want to talk about is fair game. Let me know at 412-928-9370. Let's get to the phone lines and hear what people have to say, beginning with Dave in Moon Township. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
I cannot tell you how much I am enjoying this implosion by the Pirates because they earned it, okay? They have a manager who never won anything and never will. They treat O'Neill Cruz, if your kid came home from school every grading period and had four Fs and a D, and you said to him, hey, that's good, kid, just keep it up. He lollygags out of the batter's box and gets thrown out at second on what should have been an easy double. He's making fielding errors. There's no consequences to his failures. They just let him go. They don't bench him. They don't do anything. You know.
Well, Dave, I think they talk to him.
Oh, that really works, hasn't it?
Well, what are you going to do? He had another home run last night. Are you going to just, on a team that's just out of offensive options, just not play him because of it? Sure, there has to be some accountability there, and I agree with what you've said. He's been lazy. That throw the other day on a double play on the top of the ninth when they had the game at least tied. There was no way to make that throw. He did. He does a lot of stupid stuff. I'm not going to disagree with that. But how would you handle it?
There should be consequences for it. And there aren't any.
Okay, what do you do? You don't know what goes on behind.
Sit him at least for a game. You got to sit him for at least a game or two. They're not going to make the playoffs anyway. You have to look big picture long term, not just this season.
Is he a shortstop big picture long term?
No. If he can't field, put him at DH then.
Well, then what do you do with Henry Davis? Put him at short?
Henry Davis is not up here, and McCutcheon's probably not going to be here next year anyway. I want to say something about all the professional sports team in Pittsburgh, with the exception of the Riverhounds, which I don't know enough about. Their management is terrible, and their coaches and managers let the inmates run the asylum. Tomlin does it. You know, Shelton does it. Sullivan does it. And this is what you get when you let that happen.
Thanks, Dave. I think you make some good points there. There has to be a consequence or two for but I don't know what you do with Cruz in terms of what's the consequence. Sit for a game or two. And then what? You have to put him back in there. He's got to learn. If you don't see him learning, then I really would have a problem with it. And there, again, defensively, I never thought his defense was going to be any good. He's 6'7". It's hard to play short at that time with that height. But his bat is still very lively, and therein lies a problem. They have a lot of potential bats who have nowhere to play. And somebody's got to play the field. Bill in Uniontown joins us right now. He's on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Bill.
Yes, I would like you to take my call. I'd like to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Justin Fields. I think he got sacked too many times. Their offense and defense is very terrible all the way around. What do you think?
Thanks, Bill, for the call. Well, I'm not going to put too much stock into one game because I think last year and in other previous seasons in the preseason, we can overreact to things positively and negatively. So they did not look ready to play. They did not look like they spent time at St. Vincent College. They need to be better in routine plays, which Tomlin harps about all the time. But that was the difference of this game. They made no routine plays. In fact, they imploded on routine plays. And these are things that have to be worked out before you start the season. So I would venture to say today's the off day. Tomorrow they'll be in full pads and they'll get hard at it because they have to. Keep in mind, all of their big-time players did not play. So you got to factor that into this. We didn't see either Highsmith or T.J. Watt. We didn't see Cam Hayward. We didn't see Minka Fitzpatrick. That's the core of your defense. So they're trying different people and trying to see different things. And as a result, you saw some young kids who did make plays. I thought Beanie Bishop looked good. He was a gunner in punt formation. He'll do anything to make the team. He's undrafted, played at West Virginia. I thought Ryan Watts was a kid who played well. And Peyton Wilson looks like he is an NFL linebacker. He's not going to be a starter, but he's going to give you some nice depth. I thought Mark Robinson at times looked bad. He's been around for a long time. I know he's not a high pick, but he needs, they need guys to step up. One guy who did was DeMarvin Leal, who had a bad year last year, and he made some plays. He's lost weight. They put him to the outside. Whatever the case may be, he looked okay. So I wouldn't put too much emphasis on any of this stuff right now. Other than they look sloppy and they are not ready for prime time. Let's go to Martin in Uniontown, who joins us on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Martin?
Hey, Bob, I'm going to tell you something. The ice cream melted off the stick up for the Pirates real fast because, see, if they keep losing, they're going to be going down real quick.
They're already going downhill, and I don't think there's any coming back from it. Now, they've allowed the Giants and the Cubs to jump ahead of them now, so that means there are seven teams involved in this wild card. They got to hop a lot of them. Not all of them are going to lose. Their season is pretty much over as far as I'm concerned. I just the numbers don't stack up well against them, and I don't see a, you know, unless they just absolutely rip through the National League Central when they get into September, late August into September. That's the only way, but I don't even know if that's possible the way they're playing.
But you know, Bob, this is the way I see it. I know Bob Nutting has the money. You can't tell me that he don't have the money. They got the money. Because if you mean to tell me that they can't afford to put a contender out on the field, because like I told to the friend of mine, I said, if they don't put a contender on the field, they're going to lose the gate fast.
Well, Martin, he has the money. It's a choice. Thank you for the call. I also think in a situation where at the trade deadline, you know, they're not going after the best guys they can. At least it didn't look like to me. You know, Brian De La Cruz has disappointed me. But I knew what he was when he came here. He's a right-handed hitting Jack Sawinski. That's what he is. Jack Sawinski's gone down to AAA, and he's been bad down there since. And now you got a guy who strikes out maybe more than he does. So you can go out and get traded pieces. I thought Kiner Falefa was the best deal he made. That's a versatile guy. I didn't even know he was available in a trade, but they pried him away. I thought Ben Cherington's best moment this year was picking up Joey Bart after he was waived by San Francisco. We'll take a break on that. We got more coming up. Call 412-928-9370. I want to read some tweets also. People not happy with a lot of stuff going on, which is typically the case when it comes to talk radio. But I want to hear from you. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. Bob Pompiani with you till 1 o'clock. We got Matt. Matty Ice is back as he gets ready for his wedding coming up. But he's back behind the glass and taking your phone calls. Bachelor party last week. You survived, right? You did okay?
I did. I survived.
Yeah.
My golf game, not so much, but I did survive.
Well, when you're having fun and playing golf at the same time, something's got to give, and the golf game normally gives. So, anyway, the countdown is on. What is it, 49 days?
Yes.
49 days. All right. I look forward to that, and I'm sure you're getting excited about it. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. This is the Bob Pompiani Show. We're live. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. And we are brought to you by Number One Cochran. Ride in style and go one better with Cochran. Number One Cochran, 19 different locations, all kinds of different inventory there, so check them out. Also, PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting. You want a great roof? Go to Ireland Contracting and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. All right, so I want to go to the Twitter mailbox. We got a lot of these. George Lochner says, IKF has been great. He should be the shortstop. Cruz to the outfield. He can't stay at short. Well, IKF, he can do everything. That's the thing about him, which is good. I don't know if he's an everyday shortstop, but they got to figure out Cruz defensively. He leads shortstops in errors. He makes boneheaded plays at times. The offense is too good to ignore. They got to do something. I'm not sure what the answer is. Jason and Slippery Rock, can we ever just go one day without blaming Nutting for all the Pirates' problems? Sometimes, as Joe Starkey says, it's got to be on the players. Yes, but Bob Nutting oversees, and when you bring in players who are not the players that are the elite players or the better players at a trade deadline and you seem to be bargain basement hunting, then that's a problem. It starts and always will start with ownership's commitment to winning, and I think in this offseason, if Ben Cherington is still around, then his goal should be to load up on bats because they don't have many in their system. They really don't. They need bats. They have enough pitching. We saw Bubba Chandler last night, 7 shutout innings in his AAA debut, 6 strikeouts, only 2 hits allowed. You add him to what you have here. The starting pitching should be the strength. The bullpen's got to get better, obviously, but more than anything else, bats, consistent bats. If you have to pay for them, pay for them. If you have to overpay for them, overpay for them. You've got to do something to take advantage of young pitchers. Presto says, this is on the Steelers, at Matt Presto. He says, I do think they need to keep Broderick on one side and stick with it. You have a guy that's still showing greenness, and it's not benefiting him. Well, that's the problem they have. They started Dan Moore at the left, Broderick Jones on the right, then they immediately switched Jones to the left to put in Faltanu, and then he had to go out, and they had to put in Dylan Cook after that. I do agree. I think ultimately, as I said this since the beginning, I think Jones is your left tackle, Faltanu is your right tackle. Even though Faltanu has played most of his time in left tackle at Washington, So, boy, they've really done a lot to change their offensive line. When you look at it, 2 years in the running. Last year, number one pick, tackle. This year, number one pick, tackle. Second round pick is a center. Then you have a fourth round pick in Mason McCormick, who I thought looked pretty good last night. He was also picked. So was Spencer Anderson. All these picks have come in as they change their offensive line. And so they got to find some five-person group here and stick to it. I agree with that. Then we go to this one. Jason on Twitter, at KD Pomp, he hits me up. He says, quarterback, all I know is we looked unstoppable last preseason and then sucked in the regular season. Let's wait and see. There will be too many overreactions. And that's what I've been kind of putting out there as well. And then we have this one from Steel City Delegate, who says the offense had all the starters except Seumalo, but they're young. And again, that's my point. They have to go out there and actually get more reps, more time here as I delve through this. Steel City Delegate says, I'm sticking with 7-10 prediction. Nothing I saw showed me the offense. Again, it's one preseason game, so I'll caution you on that. And we haven't seen many of the significant players yet in those games, and you won't for the most part. All right, we got more coming up at 412-928-9370. We're going to talk about that. I want to get your thoughts on the, quote, dynamic kickoff. We saw it last night for the first time. I think we explained it pretty clearly. But to me, I don't see much change with anything. In fact, it looks too gimmicky to me. Nobody can move until the ball hits in the, quote, landing zone. Last night we saw Kai Fairbairn miss the landing zone, and when that happens, if it goes short, then immediately the play is stopped and goes to the 40-yard line. But they're trying to increase returns, but what I saw, I didn't see anything different from, I know it's one game and this is still something, a work in progress, but what do you think at 412-928-9370? Do you like the dynamic kickoff? Was it dynamic enough for you? Out to the lines we go. Counselor joins us on line one. Hello, Counselor. How are you this morning?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Fine. Listen, I just want to make one comment on the Pirates, and I was hoping to see something, and it didn't come. O'Neill Cruz should have been benched, I thought, immediately when he didn't run hard enough and was out at second base. I figured, okay, they'll play the Dodgers. And I know he went 3-for-5 and had 2 ribbies in the game, but he wasn't benched for that at that time. They are not going to progress to be a competitive team until accountability is enforced. And I don't see it with Shelton. Because, you know, he's the best stick they have, sub to Brian Reynolds and, whoever else is the other bat in the lineup, Telez maybe. It's just not happening. And, you know, whether it's O'Neill Cruz, whoever, there's no accountability for either lack of discipline or whatever you want to call it, or lack of hustle.
All right, you have a Steeler call as well, right?
Okay, well, my comment on the Steelers is let's wait till the second preseason game when they play. It used to play the starters for a half, you know. And yeah, in my opinion, yesterday, it's all see what you have as to second and third string, you know?
I know, but I still think, the guy's got to get reps. I don't care who you are. Russell Wilson needs to get an opportunity with this group here to show that he has some cohesion. You can do it all you want in practice, but in games against other people, you have to see more of that. I'm a big proponent of playing more than less in preseason games. There are only 3 of them, and next year, who knows, there could be 2. I mean, they're working hard to go from 17 to 18 regular season games, and it's not a question of if it happens, it's a question of when it happens. So, you don't want to go in the season with a bunch of guys, and I understand the injury component to it, I do, but you got to do something. If it's just as easy as saying we're not going to play anyone, then don't play the games if that's the case. Just go straight to the game one of the season and go from there. I don't know. I mixed feelings about that kind of stuff. But, Counselor, I hear what you're saying about the Pirates. Thank you for the call, and I think a lot of people feel the same way. There has to be accountability, but when a guy has 19 home runs, as Cruz does, he's one of your best sticks, what do you do with that in terms of accountability? Let's go to Tyler in Monroeville. Tyler joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Tyler, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I wanted to talk about Joey Bart here because I feel like he's not getting enough love in Pittsburgh.
No, I think he is.
Well, see, I was wondering if you think that they're going to dangle Henry Davis out there. because Joey Bart's looking like the Buster Posey backup that he was supposed to be with the Giants. Uh-huh.
I don't know if I would dangle him now. I don't know what you'd get. I'd want to see him up here hitting the ball, and I'm not going to give up on his bat yet. I do think they have a problem with what they do with him. To me, Yasmani Grandal, if he's just Skeens his caddy, then I don't want him. He's got to do. He struck out all four times last night. He's a liability at the plate, and they have too many liabilities at the plate.
It's got to be Ben Charrington's best move, I think, so far. Because, I mean, without him, we bring up Jason DeLay, and then we have the worst catching duo in the league.
So what do you suggest with Henry Davis? He's hitting the ball well in AAA right now. And to me, I got to put him somewhere.
A full preface, I am a Henry Davis truther. I mean, he is a tank. That boy's legs are solid, and I think if he makes contact, he's going to have an 800 to 850 OPS career in the big leagues. But I think that he just has to find it. And I think with us competing, I don't think we can give him enough time to actually find it when we have Joey Bart up here.
Yeah, I mean, and you also have Andy Rodriguez who's coming back. So you have three suddenly.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do with him?
Well, I think that you try to keep Joey Bart and Andy Rodriguez, and then you try to see if Henry Davis can go to first base or DH, unfortunately. Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with him DHing if that's what it comes to. You know, McCutcheon's not going to be able to do it forever, and even though he's been one of their better consistent on-base people, I want to see a bat who can actually hit. And if he can do that for me, I'm more than happy to put him as a DH. Now it's universal. Put him in there. Give me 30 home runs if you can. Catch him once a week, whatever the case may be, to give Joey Bart a day off. That's fine with me.
Also, I want to make a point about the manager for the Pirates. I think that Pirates fans, or just Pittsburgh fans in general, I think they kind of overinflate the value of coaches because
Well, I don't know what happened there. You just dropped out. Well, if your coaches are brought in on the cheap and they don't have a lot of history, this is why, you know, I was looking at, and I've gotten to know Jeff Banister over the years when he was here in Pittsburgh. He went to Texas. I believe he was a manager of the year down there once. And he's the Torrey Lovello's right-hand man. And he's an experienced guy. I think they need more of that. I do. I think they need people in that dugout who've gone through these kinds of things. And you know, they have guys in their coaching staff who I really like. And I'm not, it's not about them. I'm adding to that group. I want to get more voices, more situational awareness on things like that. Let's go to Walt in Greensburg. Joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show on a beautiful Saturday. Hey, Walt. Or is it Wait? No, Walt.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Walt. Well, I want to piggyback on Cruz, and I'm going to take a little different look at it. I think Cruz is a showboat. I think he knows he has a great arm. And he loves to show that arm. I hate it when he picks up a ground ball and double clutches, so he has to throw at 150 miles an hour. But I really think that Cruz and Shelton does not work together. Shelton does not have enough ump to take Cruz out of a game. And I would, when he makes a stupid mistake, I would pull him right down. I would make it hurt for him. You remember at spring training, they tried to put him in the outfield. He sobbed and boo-hooed and all that and didn't hit, and they stopped that. He's a liability. He's a real liability unless something changes, and that's either Shelton or Cruz. One thing, Alex Kerr is the manager of Detroit, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Detroit was playing. And the seventh inning guy walked the first batter of the Pirates, and they had a 4-1 lead. He came out to the mound, and you could see that he was mad. He was really upset. He talked to that guy. He wasn't worried about mound visits or anything like that. He talked to that guy. The guy got the next three outs and went about his business. I've never seen Shelton do anything like that. I think the problem is Shelton, to tell you the truth. I like him. I really do like him, but I just don't think he's a good manager because of that.
Thank you for the call, Walt. I still think it comes down to players. Now, as far as discipline is concerned, I'd like to know exactly what he does. He says he takes care of stuff behind the scenes. Okay, fine, but it has to manifest itself in better reactions out there. O'Neill Cruz has made too many really lackadaisical plays. Not smart plays. Again, the relay to first on a double play that was never going to happen cost them a game the other day at home. He leads the majors, I think, as errors for shortstop. That can't happen. You got to do something else, and I don't know how you change that. He's one of those just freakish athletes at 6 foot seven, hits the ball, third best exit velocity of anybody, only behind Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. So he's got plenty of that, and they need that. So it is a conundrum and how you deal with him. But there are moments when you can just take him out of a game and make a statement. There are. And you hope he's mature enough to handle it and what he's doing. But, you know, we haven't really seen that necessarily. So we'll talk more about that. I want to get your thoughts on this dynamic kickoff that we saw last night. Are you of the belief it's going to make a difference or not? I, after 1 week of preseason football, I haven't seen a difference in terms of where, you know, drives start. They're trying to cut down on concussions. It's taken a lot of the, you know, some of the big hits out of the game. Do you like it or not? Do you think they'll keep it after 1 year or not? 412-928-9370. That and more Steeler conversation, your pirate complaints, whatever you want to do is fine by me. Right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. We're live on a Saturday in Pittsburgh on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's a beautiful day. We'll have the weather forecast coming up, and I think you know what's in store. In the meantime, 412-928-9370. Last night, Kenny Pickett made his Philadelphia debut, 14 of 22, 89 yards and a touchdown. However, 89 yards and 14 completions comes out to about 4 yards. The more telling thing, on throws down the field that traveled 10 yards or more in the air, he was 0 for 4 and not very good in that department. So we're asking you about the kickoff rule. Do you like it? The new changes, because they're pretty massive. I haven't seen anything that makes me think it's going to do anything differently. So, sure, it's one game, but I've seen a number of games. I haven't seen any dynamic returns yet, and I think that was their goal. But I think they also overdo it sometimes with the safety. I understand why there are a lot of lawsuits about concussions, but, man, that's a fine line to walk, I think, when it comes to a kickoff game that, you know, you'd like to make it a play. They're trying. I don't know if this is the right way to go. What are your thoughts on that? At 412-928-9370, let's go to Joe in Orlando, Florida, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good, thank you.
Hey, listen, I hate to be negative. I know we got enough of those callers on the Fan. But listen, for 19 years, I think it's been, I've sat and watched Mike Tomlin systematically, ignorantly, just kill the Steelers, right? To the point where, like, they're my third favorite team in Pittsburgh because they're so difficult to watch. And every excuse that we could possibly think of, we've used. So the latest one, well, it's the first preseason game, and certainly there's some truth in it. But they're as fundamentally unsound and as undisciplined as a pro football team can possibly be.
But what I'll say to you is what you just said at the end. It is one game, and they were playing a lot of guys who they're trying to get a gauge on. So if you want to talk about regular season, sure, there are moments like that. But I will remind you also that it's funny how this works, and I was looking back the other day. In one score games last year, they were 9-2, and since 2020, they're 34-11 in one score games. Which tells you two things: number one, they play too many conservative close games, which means they haven't gotten the kind of offense they need to break some of those games open early. So they're always in it. But what happens then? There are mistakes late in games that other teams may be making. So sometimes numbers can mislead you a little bit. I thought, you know, pre-snap penalties, they made an effort to say, we want to make routine plays routinely. Well, last night, they failed.
Well, and the other thing is, a leader, your ability to adjust over time and to learn from your mistakes is paramount, right? That's like learning 101. To this day, Mike Tomlin's never proven that something is simplistic is managing a clock can he do after 19
years?
Well,
I think, you know, Joe, I think you can say that about every coach in the NFL. I honestly do. Listen, I know he's been around. The one thing that he does, he knows how to really get into his players' heads, I think. I always find this a difficult discussion to make, whether it's player or coach. I'll have the same thoughts when it comes to hockey, baseball, whatever. General manager included, because you have to bring in players that make a difference too. You know, we get this all the time with the Pirates. Is it Derek Shelton or is it the players? Well, it's both. It's also the general manager for not bringing in enough talent so that the manager has it at his disposal. And that also goes all the way up to the owner, who doesn't spend enough to get that sort of talent. So I think in Tomlin's case, he's been extremely steady. I think they've won enough close games to prove that he can win those close games, and the numbers there don't lie. But they haven't been in a position where they've won enough games because they have big first half and there is no one-score game to have. That's their problem. If you look at their offensive numbers over the last 3 years, and Matt Canada paid the price for this, 21 in scoring, 26 in scoring, last year 28th in scoring. If you don't score, you're going to be in a lot of one-score games because you have to rely on your defense. So those are all problems, but I hear what you're saying. And the biggest thing on Mike is he's got to get in and win postseason games. That hasn't happened since 2016.
Well, the other thing to think about this is there's playing to win and there's playing not to lose. Okay, and he seems by trying to keep it close, don't turn the ball over. Those are like good things to hear. He's full of great cliches, right? He's great at that.
But that's fundamentally true, though. If you don't make mistakes,
it is. But here's my point: you play to win, right? You play to win. You got to take risks. You got to hustle. There's just things. It's just listen. Like I said, we've been talking about it for 19 years. Then it obviously comes down to as soon as he goes on the market, somebody will pick him up. Listen, you can't keep a coach just because somebody else will take him, right? They can have him, as far as I'm concerned. For me, growing up in the 70s, and I know this is a bad word on your station, but like Chuck Knoll's way of doing things changed the whole face of the Steelers and the city and the way they looked at themselves. And what's happened over time is this gentleman has systematically tore it down to the point where when you tune into the Steelers, it's like tuning into the 2012 Detroit Lions. They're mediocre. And I hate to say that because I love the Steelers. I do. But that's what they are at this point. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
All right, Joe. Thank you. Right, well, listen, they went 5-1 in the division last year. They've won a number of close games. And again, I think that's a stat that people don't often talk about. You can discuss what that means. All I know is in those games, they've won the majority of them, and nobody's had more wins in those kind of games since 2020 than Mike Tomlin. Stella in Pittsburgh joins us right now. What's up, Stella? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Yes, it just like the call you just said, they are never prepared. How can they be prepared? They're not prepared in preseason. They're not prepared in regular season. So that does go to Tomlin. And also, I want to make a remark about Juju. Juju is available. What do you think about that?
I say no to Juju Smith-Schuster. No, he has not had good numbers. He's been more concerned with his TikTok than his football, and it shows in the numbers. That's why he's been released. So, no, I'm not going to go there.
So that's why.
Well, I don't know why. I'm just saying I've seen that show, and I don't think they need to bring that show back. If they're still trying to make a play for a Brandon Ayuk, or now I hear CD Lamb, that's, to me, a little too outrageous to think, given the money that we're talking about there. But they could very well be patient and come away with what they need. But San Francisco doesn't seem to budge, and now there's some talk that they could bring him back, eventually move up to the level of money he wants, and he'll stay there. Listen, they're a better team with him, and the Steelers would be a better team with him, but everything has got to meet together. Cleveland's still not out of this thing. They're still trying to work on a deal. So there has been no conclusion to that. I don't know how long it's going to take. Can they use him? Absolutely. Although I will say last night, I thought Van Jefferson acquitted himself very well, and so did Scotty Miller, Calvin Austin as well. Are they a legitimate compliment to George Pickens? No, but they're contributors. Do they need that right now? Probably yes. But again, it comes down to compensation and what are the Steelers willing to do when it comes to compensation. San Francisco seems very, very interested in acquiring another wide receiver if they're going to replace Ayuk. Cleveland has offered up a very good one, as well as two draft picks. So Amari Cooper's pretty good. I think he'd work well in San Francisco in that system. There are a lot of things in play here. San Francisco may say, we can't afford Ayuk, given the fact that we have Trent Williams, who's one of the best at left tackle. We got to pay him still, and he's not there. We have a quarterback who next year will command the kind of money we think is going to be in the $300 million range. They're getting away with a young quarterback who still has not cashed in. The Steelers are in the same boat that way in that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields cost them only $5 million. That should change next year, one way or the other. So it's like a puzzle. And, San Francisco wants a proven wide receiver back in return. Can they get it done? We'll find out. This is a story that never goes away. It's been going since March. It doesn't seem to have a conclusion. Eventually it will. What will that conclusion be? At 412-928-9370. Now, it's time for the weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions available at sunchevy.com. Look out your window. That's your weather. It's sunny. It's pleasant. Low humidity. A really nice day. High of 77. Low tonight of 57. That sunshine should continue early into the week. We'll take a break. We got more calls on the way. It's 412-928-9370. The Bob Pompeiani Show. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.